FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is March 9th, 2016. So it's been 7 years, and break out the champagne because we've had a bull market that entire time. Very few corrections have occurred. I mean, you could count it on your hand, the number of times the market's gone down 10% over the past 7 years and still have fingers left over. And Dave Kranzler is with us now. And Dave, welcome back here.
Thanks for having me, Kerry. I always love coming on your program. It's a great show, and your website looks great.
Well, thank you so much. So, bull market, the raging bull market, it's 7 years old. I mean, we're looking at basically most advances. You have your seven-year crash cycle, right? Are we there now?
Well, it probably shouldn't have irritated me, but it irritated me when you wake up and they're cracking the champagne bottles on celebrating the 7 year anniversary of the bull market. And I mean, like everything else in our financial system, that term, applying that term to our markets is a fraud, because it hasn't really been a bull market. It's been more like a BS market. You know, stocks would have never even come close to doing what they did without the $4+ trillion of printed money that the Fed injected into the system, half of which went into the mortgage market. And then no one even counts the increase in the amount of debt and leverage into the system that's been created. And that's basically what's been propping up this stock market, and it's what's been driving it higher. It's not as crazy as it was during the last stage of the Weimar era in Germany or in Zimbabwe, but if the Fed embarks on another big QE program, we could see that happen. So, if the Fed had just stayed out of the market, if the government had just stayed out of the market, yeah, we might have had a fairly sharp bear market bounce after we hit a bottom in April of 2009. But we would have certainly gone a lot lower than the lows that we saw in April of 2009 before this thing before the market was able to cleanse out all the excesses of what caused the really what I call a de facto financial collapse in 2008, and then a recovery from that collapse. And to be honest with you, 7 years later, we would all be much better off if they had just let the markets do what they were supposed to do rather than intervene, because now they've created a situation where when they're unable to swing their leg at that can and kick it down the road, what's going to happen after that is going to be far worse than what we saw in 2008.
Yeah, it would certainly appear so. And you got so many things happening around the world that are really disconcerting, to put it charitably, right? I mean,
that's right.
You just can't believe what's happening in, in Europe and Asia. I mean, China, you think we had a credit bubble here. It's nothing compared to what they did, right?
Well, I think the perception of what things are like in the United States have been clouded by Western and especially U.S. financial propaganda.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I don't know what number is a real number coming out of China in terms of how much debt they have in their system. And I'm sure they have as much debt as we do.
Yeah.
But you know, if you take China out of the equation, the U.S. has by far the most amount of debt as a percentage of GDP. And I'm talking about not just government debt. I'm talking about corporate debt, consumer debt, municipal debt, et cetera. You look at the total amount of credit issued as a percentage of GDP, the U.S. is higher than anyone. And again, I'm not throwing China in there, because who knows what the real numbers are there. But there's a big difference, Gary, between what's happening in China and what's happening in the U.S. I mean, sure, the U.S. dollar is still considered to be the reserve currency, so the U.S. has some leverage with that. But
for now.
But China has over $3 trillion in foreign currency reserves. You know what the U.S. foreign currency reserve number is? And I haven't looked at it in about six months. Hmm. It's under $40 billion.
Yeah,
I mean, you can look at that $3 trillion in currency reserves, and that's part of their savings account over there.
Yeah,
and
well,
that doesn't even include all the amount of gold that they hold. I mean, what's the market value of the amount of gold that the Chinese central bank owns? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't.
It's certainly a lot more than the whatever it is they're reporting now. 1,600 tons of gold. But if you even if you just assume it's 1,600 tons and to count that, you know, throw that into their foreign currency reserves number. I mean, China's got a huge room for error there. They've got a huge cushion in the form of those reserves. The U.S. doesn't have that.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to need it. I don't think there's, regardless of what they might have or not have, you know, things are, it isn't just, it's a worldwide basic depression that we're in, that we've been in. And the part of the problem is not addressing the truth of the matter, calling it for what it is, and instead saying, oh, the green shoots, recovery and all that. Now we're going to suffer the cost, the true cost of not facing reality.
Yeah, I agree with that. And to be sure, it's definitely a worldwide problem, but it's not, you know, people put the blame on China. They point fingers at China and say, oh, well, our market's down because of China. Well, no, our market's down. You know, our market is insanely overvalued, just like China's is.
Yeah. I mean, at least their bubble was based on some underlying strength in their economy, whether it was elusive or not. Ours is, there's no strength in this economy here. Just, I don't know. You know, there's patches where it might not be as bad as in other places, but hey, we've been in this decline for going on close to 10 years now, you know, pretty amazing.
Exactly. That's right.
With no end in sight. So, although when you look at the financial press, hey, 7-year anniversary of the bull. That's wonderful, isn't it? Pause for celebration.
The propaganda is just mind blowing.
Yeah, it never ceases. That's the amazing part. It never ends. And they just keep going with it. And I don't know who the heck believes it at this point, Dave. You know?
It's hard to say. Sometimes I don't really keep the volume on when I have the financial TVs on. I like to have the tickers going across, but and it's on for background noise. Sometimes there's some cute girls that come on Fox Business. But often I wonder when I do hear these guys, sometimes you want to hear what something someone's saying. And it's like, you just sit there and you're like, does this guy really believe that? And what numbers is he looking at?
Yeah.
Or like when a Fed official comes out and says, oh, you know, the labor market's really strong and the economy is recovering. And meanwhile, there's private economic index reports that are being released that are showing a level of economic activity that's back to where it was in 2008. And you're just scratching your head.
Right.
You guys really believe this?
Look what's happening to retail, the retail apocalypse. You know, all this talk of economic decline is making me really hungry for a Trump steak. I just can't find any place to buy one. This is the problem here. Right. Well,
if you get a URL, let me know, because I need a good source of good steaks. Lobel's in New York is too expensive.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them all over the place. But something about those Trump steaks last night on TV really looked good. Hey, in the meantime, you have a new publication out, correct?
I do.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
I've actually got two. One was sort of born out of the other in early December. I had been thinking about this for a long time. And I knew at some point people were going to be interested in making money on the downside of this 7-year bull market when it rolls over and heads back down, which inevitably it will at some point.
Mm.
And so I started up what I call the Short Sellers Journal. And it's a weekly publication, and I email it directly to subscribers' email every Sunday. Sometimes I get it out by Saturday. And the basic format is I have some, what I consider to be my unique insight. And I don't know if it's unique or not, but brief insight on what happened the previous week in the market and what the variables were that drove it, in my opinion. And then one thing that I added to it, it's still evolving, it seems to get better every week, is that I'm getting a lot of subscriber questions, and when they ask me questions, and I give them an answer, I'm like, oh, I gotta put this in this week's issue because this will probably be helpful to a lot of people. So I throw that in there, and then I come up with, or ideally I come up with what I call a long-term fundamentals-based short sell idea. And then it depends on the market action the previous week, but if I can come up with a good idea for what I call a quick hit, like for instance, last week, Big Five Sporting Goods was reporting earnings on Tuesday, And I actually sent this out as an email alert on Monday. I said, if you buy puts on this by the end of the day Tuesday, or short it by the end of the day Tuesday, I think there's a good shot that the stock's going to drop after it reports earnings on Tuesday night. And on Wednesday, stock dropped 18%. So that would be an example of like a quick hit trade idea. It's more of just like a short-term scalp based on an event that's coming up, or maybe a technical setup that I see in a chart. So I do like that. And so that's been going on since December 7th was the first issue. And in January, early January, I came across a brand new junior mining stock company that was born out of an acquisition from the predecessor company. And there were five properties from the predecessor company that were spun off to the existing management. And I know the management really well, and I know the properties pretty well. And so what I did is I threw that into my January 10th issue of the Short Seller's Journal, on the premise that investing in the precious metals is
a short,
in a way, shorting the market, yeah, because it's a contra stock marketplace.
Absolutely. So, and you got a big killing on Amazon. I haven't even looked to see what it's trading for. The last time I looked, it was down to around low 500s. But you were like well ahead of the curve on that one for a long time. Right now it's at 556. It's bounced back a little bit, but it was at 650 something, I think, when you made your call.
Yeah, it almost hit 700 at one point.
Yeah. So that was a good one.
Anyway, after that issue, I started thinking about doing a mining stock journal, and I rolled that out. The first issue was last Friday, so that's mm-hmm. my second new, and that's a bi-monthly subscription basis. You know, they're both on a monthly basis. You can cancel them after a month if you don't like it. But this one, there's two issues per month. And what I do is it's a little bit different format than the Short Seller's Journal, and I try to find one good junior mining stock, or possibly a producer if it makes sense. And I look at it in depth and present it in depth. And they're sort of a more of a abbreviated form of my big stock reports that I do, my big mining stock report. So it's not as intense as those, but it's basically the same information. And I make sure I talk to management, et cetera, and do a lot of due diligence on each idea. Great.
Excellent. Well, hey, we'll look forward to it. What's the website that you go to subscribe and try out these publications, Dave?
InvestmentResearchDynamics.com.
InvestmentResearchDynamics.com. As always, you will find a link in the show notes to this interview to Dave's site. Check it out. And hey, might just be the thing you're looking for in this really uncertain investment environment that you got to be nervous about no matter what you're in. And Dave, we will talk with you again real soon. It's great catching up, and you be well.
Likewise, Carrie. I appreciate it. I'll come on anytime. I love coming on your show.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.